Well, good morning. How are you guys doing? All right. It seems like, to me, I sense a little tiredness, maybe distraction this morning. So I wanted to just pause before we get into the message, and I just want to give you a chance right where you're at just to stop and pray. I really appreciated worship. Appreciate these guys leading us just in devotion to God. I appreciate them rolling with changes with people getting sick in the middle of the night, and I know that's challenging, and yet to come into that place. And so I feel like I'm already in a better spot than I was when I walked in, and I hope you are as well. But I just want to take a moment, and where you're at, just stop, and if you have distractions, pray about them, give them to God, and just want to invite you just to come and sit for a little less than an hour, enjoy a message. Hopefully God will speak to you in it, and enjoy some more worship and time with family. And so we'll just offer this time. Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you for just the love you've shown me, even just friends, these brothers and sisters singing to me on my birthday. Thank you that you continue to love us and extend your kindness and compassion and love to us. Thank you for the many ways that you show us your love. We might not notice all of them or even most of them, but I thank you. Thank you that you are so kind. Thank you for this morning. I ask that you would teach us this morning. I acknowledge that without your breath, without your spirit, it's just a bunch of words this morning. But I ask that you would touch our lives. I ask that you would strengthen us in you. I ask that you would speak to us what you want, and that you would give us ears to hear. Thank you for your continued grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so being a teacher, high school teacher for 12 years, I can't resist throwing in a pop quiz every now and then. And so, I know it's summer break, but we're going to start with a pop quiz. It's one question, and it's true or false. And if you're smart, you can write like a T that kind of looks like an F, and you could change it later. Or you can write an F, you know, just kind of. All right, Jesus Christ is always nice. True or false? So Jesus Christ, God the Son, who was and is, when he was in a human form, walked on the earth, he touched lepers, he healed diseases, he cast out demons, he ate with sinners, he hung out with anybody. He taught people about the kingdom. He fed people. He gave his own life as a payment for us. He is love. He said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. He gave us so many gifts. He is love. And yet, was he nice? It's interesting to think about what Jesus didn't say. He never said, "Just do whatever makes you feel happy." God wants you to be happy. He never said, "As long as it feels good, it's all right." But he said things like, "It would be better to have a huge stone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea than to cause one of these little ones who believes in me to sin." Jesus took some leather and he braided a whip out of it. And he went into the temple where they were selling things. And he said, this is supposed to be a house of prayer. And he took the tables and turned them over, scattered their money, took the whip, drove them out of the temple. I don't think by our standards, Jesus Christ is always nice. I think that is false. He's not always nice, but I believe, I've seen, tasted, he's always good, and he's always loving. And in those times when he spoke what seems like extremely harsh words, he spoke them in love. And there was a certain group of people that Jesus specifically spoke harshly to. In fact, in one place he says, you snakes, you brood of vipers. Make sure I don't mess this up. How will you escape being condemned to hell? You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? And to this group, he spoke, whoa, whoa, and all kinds of pronouncements of, this is not right, you are not right, boom, this is just blasted them. And this group was the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the religious leaders. So it's a little challenging to me because I'm a religious leader. It's like, these are the words that Jesus spoke to the religious leaders at the time. Extremely in their face. So we're going to look at that today. And we're going to look at his words. And we're in this series called Animation. Looking at how Jesus brings life. He brings us to life. He animates us. And I believe those words that he spoke were the most fitting thing for where they were at. And they were intended to bring life. And so in Matthew 23, we see a lot of these. In Matthew 23, pretty much the whole chapter, Jesus is just going off on the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And so what did he see in them that brought out the verbal whip? And so the first thing is this feeling of self-righteousness. The Pharisees had this sense of like, yes, I am very good. And part of that was, I'm better than others. And part of that was, whatever standard I have, I will make the standard so that I am righteous. I am good. I can find validation in myself. So they were... It's that act of thinking we are better than other people. It was interesting writing this sentence. At first I put thinking they are better than other people. And I was like, does that make me a Pharisee? I'm like, those guys, they're the ones thinking they're better than other people, not me. Like, well, maybe I should put you. It's when you are, you know, the kind of royal you, thinking you are better than, I'm like, no, it's, when we are thinking we're better than other people, we're living in a way like a Pharisee. Oh man, maybe I do these, but I sure don't do that thing. I'm above that. I would never do that. Trying to look good on the outside, even if inside we're full of stink and death and selfishness. And I put on this air on the outside. I've got my life together. Everything's going well. I'm cleaned up. I'm really with it. I speak well, and people see the shell and they like me. The last thing is being an actor. Jesus talked to them about being actors. And the Greek word for actor, of course they didn't have movies, so the actors were just like in plays. But the Greek word for an actor is a hypocrite. And so that's that word. It's someone who puts on a show. They might act a certain way. You know, they get the part. When I go to church, I get put on my church part. And then when I'm with these friends, I put on this part. and then I take on this role, that having a different role, different personality. He's blasting them. We're going to jump in specifically to some of these places, and hang on tight. This is kind of harsh. It's like pretty wild. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law. The law is the first five books of the Bible, the Jewish code of life. You teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Wow. So, they were supposed to give a tenth as a tithe. And so when they grew something in their garden, they grew mint, they would cut a tenth of the mint and bring it as a tithe. And Jesus is like, that's great, but you forgot the more important part. That's not the essence of what God wants. The essence is justice, mercy, is love. Like John was talking about, loving your neighbor. Loving God. They strained out the gnat, that little tiny biting insect that when you, if you ever ride a bike, they find know how to find a way right into your mouth or your eyes. You guys find those. You swallow one of those. Ugh. Instead, they made sure there was no gnats, and they swallowed a camel. Those things go down kind of rough. It's mostly the bump on the back. And so I think through this, what does that look like? And I have strained out a lot of gnats in the process of swallowing camels. Which one would you rather have stuck in your throat? So here's somebody they say, I always say please and thank you, but then I gossip behind other people's backs. That's cool. There's no gnats. But whoops, there's a camel. I honestly had a student, and in all sincerity, he told people, it is fine in class if you say to somebody, expletive, 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 shut up, as long as you say please at the end of that. And he felt really justified in that. Like, I said please. I was like, well, that's good. I appreciate that. But there's a camel. I did my homework. That's good. But I rolled my eyes at my parents and didn't listen to anything they said. Totally disregarded them. No gnats. Wonderful. But the camel. I think a lot of these are kind of at the heart level. It's like, yeah, I have all these great manners, but inside I'm just like, I don't know. Gross. I was on time to work. Great. But I have no compassion for what's going on in the lives of those around me. Especially somebody who wasn't on time. No gnats, that's good. And by the way, Jesus isn't saying, well, don't worry about the gnats, just ignore those. He's saying, yeah, that's good too. But what about the big things? Missed out on those. Okay, moving on. The next verse, he says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. Jesus is not teaching them how to wash dishes. Although if you do wash dishes, it's more important to wash the inside. But he's not talking about dishes, he's talking about their lives. On the outside, they're cleaning up their lives. But on the inside, at the core, in their heart, they have greed and self-indulgence. And he goes on to make it even more extreme. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. That's nasty. So we got bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Again, he's comparing that to their lives. On the outside, they have this appearance of goodness. They could make really long prayers. They wore scriptures on their foreheads and probably could recite them from memory. They wore these wonderful robes and yet inside, hypocrisy and wickedness and death and everything unclean. Right? Just full of everything unclean. What a wild statement. Think of a tomb. Think of a tomb full of a decaying corpse and whatever insects and maggots or whatever is involved in that. And on the outside, you just come and paint it. Paint it nicer. Oh yeah, let's paint this tomb. Like, I don't know, a little less harsh. I think of an apple, the outside of the apple. We can spend all this time cleaning the apple, washing it, waxing it. I don't like wax, but they wax them. You have to eat that stuff. Anyways, make them look nice because people will buy them. They take our oranges. Did you know oranges are really yellow? And they paint them orange because people will buy them. And that's what these Pharisees do with their life. They clean up the apple, clean it up, make it really nice. But then inside, it's like, it's just rotten. They spend all this time. Working on the outside, especially concerned about what other people will see of the outside. And that was me. I don't know if there's anyone in here who can be like, yeah, those Pharisees. When I hear it, I go, yeah, that's how I was. That's how I still am at times. That finger comes back to me like, whoa. Am I spending this time cleaning up the outside, trying to find this appearance? When Jesus offers us something greater. So we're going to look at how Jesus approaches this. If you guys want to turn in the Bible, or Luke 18, starting in 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, that's what we're talking about, and look down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. He's the master of stories. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, a religious leader, and the other a tax collector, a notorious loser. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So how do we not be like a Pharisee? Jesus lays it out so beautifully. Realize you cannot ever be righteous on your own. All of my self-effort is just this cleaning of the apple. There's so much effort that goes into it. But at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do. And I realize I'm trapped. I realize I cannot change the things I want to change. On my own, I cannot. I fall back into them. I cannot even live up to my own standard. I cannot be righteous on my own. And then humble yourself before God. Stop pretending. Get off your high horse. Just, here I am, God. I need you. Receive the mercy of God. Believe in what Christ has done for you. Christ paid a price for us. He paid our debt. He took our sin upon Himself. We can receive His mercy and accept His life in us. His resurrected life in us through His Spirit. And I want to invite you, if you've never in your life come to this point and you would like to talk more about this or pray through this, I would love to talk to you afterwards. How amazing. And what happens is, when Christ comes into us, when we give up trying to earn our way, trying to make our way ourselves, and we allow Him, He transforms us from the inside. And instead of death and everything unclean, we have the perfection of Christ within us. Not by any merit of our own, but by His doing. And maybe it's just the tiniest little flame of His Spirit. And yet that becomes our identity. We are the righteousness of God. We are perfect in Christ. We are new. Because our identity is no longer in whatever amount of outside appearance we have, but our identity is in who God has made us. It is in who Christ is within us. It's amazing. He takes the inside of us and just transforms us, makes us new. And so I want to just kind of lay out three observations in this, three thoughts, kind of thinking through this. And so the first one is, I think even after being transformed, sometimes we're still trying to put all this effort into like polishing the outside of the apple, trying to make our appearance look good. And so just the first thought I have is stop putting all this effort into the outside. And part of that is how, and just thinking through, how can we connect with who we are in our spirit? It's not about, after having Christ, we can still, let me get the 7 habits of highly successful people. Really, let me work on this. This will really, it might be good. There might be something in that. And yet, that's not where life is. Life is in Christ, in the life He's given us. How can we connect to the life of Christ in us? How can we connect to who we are in the Spirit? For me, it's like a surrender of saying, I have all this, I'm not going to trust in myself. I'm going to surrender. Allow You to work Your life through me. Allow You to live. The horse is made ready for battle, but victory rests with the Lord. There's this outer stuff that happens, and yet the victory comes from the Lord, who has transformed us and made us new, given us a new inheritance, a new identity. Even in reading the Bible, which I think is a great daily practice, we can read the Bible and read it just as, oh, here's a list of things I need to do. All right, I got my Bible, read it. Okay, what do I need to do today? Okay, I'll go do that. Or we can read the Bible as a way to connect to the living God so that His life would flow out of us. So we could know His thoughts. So that He could transform our life in general. And as I've seen God in my life start to transform things and to offer more and more of those, let that flame grow. Let His life build inside of me. Or He starts to move into my relationships, into my speech, into my thoughts. Surrender to Him my work and my parenting. And so we walk in that process. It's never done. It's never like, oh, Christ is just, I'm just pure Christ now. It's like I still have these places where of myself, my egos, whatever, still battling, but to allow that, allow Christ to invade and take over more. The second observation I have is that I think it's a lot of times it's just easy to doubt. I'm not really new. I don't know if Christ is really in me. I still have these blemishes. I still have places in me that I'm ashamed of. They're not acceptable to me. I still see my identity in what is on the outside of my life. Can I really trust that down deep, that seed of God in my life that was given as a gift is who I am? That is me. I am righteous. And His life is growing and living, and He's doing things in me, and yet I still have blemishes. An analogy I heard that I like is like a person with a car. They get a car, they only get one. When they're a teenager, they start driving it. Not very good. They smash it up a lot. And it's kind of junk, getting junkier. Gets where it kind of always turns to the right no matter what you do. You got to hold it to the left all the time. And it's got these tendencies. And in our lives, we have these tendencies. And then God says, I'm going to make you new. And so you become a new driver. You become Jeff Gordon. You are. But you're still in this old beat up piece of junk. And you're like, yeah, I'm Jeff Gordon. And it's like, yeah, I am. So you want to go to a race and race somebody. But the car pulls to the right. And the car can't go over about 55. Like, you're no race car driver. You're not righteous. You don't have Christ in you. It's like, yes. Does that mean automatically everything in my life just works perfectly? No. And the good thing is Jeff Gordon starts working on the car. It gets better and better over time. But can we trust and to stay in that spot of trusting? Yeah, God is in me. That is who I am. And if I stumble 5 times a day and go back and say, that's not who I am, and keep growing, it'll be all right. And I think part of the reason that I have seen in my life that I know I have been changed is not that I no longer sin at all, but the places where I used to find pleasure, I no longer do. Even when if I go back to them, I go, man, this is miserable. There's something in me that says, I don't even like that. I don't know why I drift that way. Because there's something in me that's like, yeah, I still stumble, but I know that's not who I am. Last observation. I think sometimes it's just easy in life to start to take credit and go back to being a Pharisee. It's like Christ comes in, changes our life, makes us new, and we start to see like addictions break, habits change, relationships get better, work habits increase, and then we go, actually, that was me.
Yeah, if you guys, you know, here's a book. You should, if you work on these things, you could be like me too. Going back to being like a Pharisee, taking credit. And so, I'm not trying to be too dramatic, but this is who I am without Christ. I smell like this. I am like this. It's just me. And it's just poo. But in Christ, this is who I am. I am the righteousness and perfection of God. In Christ, this is who you are. Not of your own doing. Not of your own credit. She liked the diamond better than them. She's like, yeah. And I think sometimes we go back to taking credit. Oh yeah, that was me. I did that. And yet it's God who gave us the power. It's like, well, I made some good decisions. Yeah, absolutely. Good decisions were necessary. But God gave you the power to do those good decisions, to make those, to carry through with those. May He get the glory. I cannot boast about anything, but I can rejoice in everything. I can't boast about any of the good things in my life, but I can rejoice and appreciate and celebrate them. God is doing some amazing things. God has freed me. I see some of the struggles I used to have and the struggles common in this world, and I'm like, wow, God has set the chains, broken the chains, set me free in so many ways. I still stumble. I still have some kind of like really deep longing for people to like me and see me as something nice, or, and yet God has set me free and I'm walking in that freedom. I still have plenty of struggles in my life. Every day I feel like I have my own things, my own issues. And yet Christ has set me free. I walk in such amazing freedom, not of my own doing, but may we rejoice in that. May we boast in that. I want to give you guys a little bit of time in a busy world. I hope this is a gift to you. I have a song. I think it's like 4 minutes and 30 seconds. And during that song, there's some questions on the back of your handout. There's also just going to be some verses up on the screen. And I want you to take that time to just sit and be with God in your own space. And to sit and appreciate what God has done for you. Appreciate who you are in Christ. And to realize that on my own, all I do is just try to clean up this apple. Try to clean up my life. Clean up to no real avail. And yet, in Christ, I become brand new. All that effort of myself, so to connect to the source. And so I invite you to come and connect. Hopefully this will work. Is the speakers on for this one, Josh? Thanks.
God in my living, air in my breathing, God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, air in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking. Be my everything, be my everything, be my everything, be my everything.
Yeah, I encourage you to take some time. Take those questions on the back. Spend some time with God this week. I just want to say to you guys, if Christ is in you, you are not in any way, shape, or form poo. You are extremely blameless. You are complete. You are the righteousness of God. You shine. You have everything you need. You are whole. You are not condemned. You're not looked down on with like disdain by God. When He sees you, He sees His child that He loves. He sees Christ. He sees perfection. He sees righteousness. He sees life. And I don't think poo is the right way to describe what we are without God. It's just dead. It's just empty. We're just dead. And death just brings death. But life brings life. Everlasting life. Life continues. And I don't care if you have the smallest spark of God in you. You have God in you. That is you. That is life. That is who you are.
May you know and rest and trust in that, in Him. May He get the glory and do whatever He wants in us. May we connect to Him and not just try to polish ourselves up. And may we not hold each other to that standard of just trying to, oh, you need to clean yourself up a little. Yeah, we're in the process. I'm not saying we don't grow, but may we grow, from God's expression in us and give each other that space. Even if you're a little baby in Christ, you're alive in Christ. You have life. Hallelujah. What a gift. What a gift that we don't have to pretend and pose and look good. It's like, man, that road is so hard. So, man, you get up the next day and try to do it again. Like, man, this acting gets old, at least for me. Okay. I was going to say something else, too. I don't know what it was, but it was good. I encourage you all to enjoy lunch and continue those conversations. Speak life to each other. Stick around, get to know somebody that you don't already know. I think we're going to do another song and just continue that appreciation. The cool thing is, in those harsh words that Jesus spoke, that verbal whip, He brought life. There was Pharisees that came to Christ, Nicodemus. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. Jesus loved them, even though He said, don't go down this road. This is not where you find life. You must not walk in this puffed up, self-confident righteousness of your own. That path will not bring you life. It is in the humility and the righteousness that comes from God. Let's pray. God, thank You for accepting us. God, I thank You so much for slapping me upside the head when I need it, in a loving way, in a gentle way. God, we need You. Thank You for what You've done to transform us. Thank You, Jesus, for giving Your life. Thank You for dying to pay our debt. Thank You for coming back to life and giving us of Your Spirit, that we could live and know You and enjoy You. God, I pray that each one of us would grow in that connection to You, that Your Spirit would gain ground in us, that You would take over new areas, that You would come into our relationships and our work and our thoughts and our anger and our lust and our places where we're broken, and just continue to move. We need You, God. Thank You for bestowing on us Your righteousness that we never had. In Jesus' name, amen.